Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geeks Are Wired podcast, number 377. On this podcast, we talk about the video games, the movies, the TV shows, the comic books, the technologies, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And if you want to contact us or, you know, just talk, whatever, because that's what contacting means, you can do so by emailing us at geeksarewired@gmail.com, or you may call or text at 801-896-4335 or 801-896-GEEK. And we also have a Patreon if you want to support us. And if you do, you'll be forever awesome to us.
Yes.
Yes. Anyways, that is at patreon.com/geeksarewired. And there's multiple tiers that any of them would be cool.
They're always appreciated.
Yes, they're always appreciated. They're great. Okay, and the introductions. On the host we got today is we have someone new, Anna.
Hi, it's been a little while.
Yeah, you've had interesting life events happen lately. You can't be blamed.
Yeah.
We don't need to go on. And then we have a Bill.
Hello.
And we have
as always
Anthony.
Yes, because of Anthony.
Hello,
yes.
Anthony.
Hello.
The very calming intro.
It's not the calmest one we've done.
No, but you were very like, we weren't, what's the noise thing?
ASMR.
Yeah, we weren't an ASMR.
No, it was like a
intro, but
it was
really close.
I
was
trying really to go close. With a happy medium. Okay, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, we put them in order. So, actually, yes, I totally have organized it. This is a totally set podcast. So, if you were to go fishing, do any of you have any of you been fishing?
I've been fishing.
I have been fishing. It's been a little while, though.
Well, apparently it's a good time to renew your fishing license because, you know, when you're like fishing off the edge of the, you know, or even with the dock, you kind of go out a little bit, you off the edge of the bank. You don't really get the big fish sometimes and you have to take the luck of will these fish come close? Or even, you know, at the dock you walk out, but it only goes so far. There's always these boats you see driving around. They're like, oh, they're getting the big fish. Well, there's ways around it now. You don't have to get the big boat to get the big fish.
What do you do?
You get a drone to drop your hook into
the fish's
mouth.
I was wondering if it had something to do with drones. I haven't read the story at all, but I figured it would be like that.
It is.
Is that not illegal?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It is not illegal.
Yet.
You have to follow the the drone has to be registered.
Oh, yeah, always.
You have to be able to
registered,
see it.
Registered, like, just with the FAA or?
Just that whatever, depending on the size of the drone.
Okay, so just with the FAA, okay.
So, just the normal drone regulations, the same drone rules. Now, that's the other thing. This drone is not going out to go down and catch the fish for you. No, it goes out and it drops the hook.
Is it just a pulley system then, basically?
No, it's a drop. It's a clasp that opens up. It releases it completely.
So, who's the fisherman?
You are.
The pilot?
Yeah. You flew out your drone there. And there's people who have cameras on them, so you literally are like looking for the fish, and you just drop the hook into the fish's mouth, and the drone flies back, and then you just reel in the hook.
So you might need some extra long line.
Yes.
To be able to catch.
Well, it depends.
I have problems with this.
Why?
Because the hook's going to be out in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to see that little tiny drone flying ahead, up above the water. And you might run into it and get a hook in the ear or in the eye or anywhere
else. So you're
saying
if there's boats or stuff like
that?
Yes. Well, but that's the same. Those are still the same regulations you have to deal with. You know,
yes.
Are you flying them over people? You know, these type of.
Right. But when you're over the water on like if it's a lake or reservoir that doesn't allow boats, fine. I'm okay with that because no one's probably going to swim out that far, and if they are, they can hear the drone.
Yeah.
So there's that, and they can also, like, if they're swimming, they can probably see the wire, but when you're going fast on a boat, you can't see.
But the same thing will happen if you let's say you're just one of those great fishermen.
Casters.
Just caster. You just cast it. You can cast it across the river.
Yep.
There are people that can do it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them. But that's why these drones. So they cast. It's out there. The boat comes along, snags it right up.
I'm sure not all drones have cameras on them.
They don't. Well, that was an example.
Most of them do. It's pretty standard now.
I believe if you do have a camera and you're able to see where it's going, it's going to be a little bit easier to be able to kind of catch something or be able to see what's obstructing what you're trying to catch.
And in fact, I've seen, back to the drone camera thing, there's like a couple of years ago, we got these drones that were just like little tiny, like probably like a 2-inch size drone, like diameter, and it had a camera. It wasn't one that you could pivot, so it wouldn't work in this case because it just looked ahead, but it's pretty standard, especially for the bigger drones.
I guess if you really wanted to, you could bring like a set of binoculars or something to kind of...
Well, like I said, you just have the regulations you have to deal with, and so obvious... Now, these are like... Most people use like $1,000 drones for this. To make sure the class works just right, you're not wasting battery, all these other
features. You want something that can carry a pretty heavy payload because fish.
No, you don't care about the fish. You carry
the hook.
Yeah, you care about the hook and the line. That is the heaviest thing you have to deal with. And obviously, the further you go out.
So it is a pulley system then, sort of.
No.
What I mean by that is you attach the line to it. It's still attached to your pole.
That's the pulley system.
And all you're doing is just... You're using the drone to cast. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. I thought it was just like... That's why I asked who the fisherman was.
Oh.
If it was the drone or you.
You are. The drone is just the delivery system of the hook.
Yes, okay. And so it just drops it and then it flies back.
Correct.
Oh, well then, yeah, you could use any kind of... Like, I could use a drone like that.
Well, it just has to carry... Because, obviously, you want to make sure your line is strong enough to be able to pull in a bigger fish... You need to make sure that the drone can carry that line, so the further out it goes, the heavier this line is going to get.
Yeah, but that's not too bad. Like, those drones, like, even my drone that I have, it could probably lift a couple of, like, maybe a pound and a half, even though the thing only weighs, like, probably 8 ounces.
And how much was yours?
I think if you just get the drone, because you can use basically any controller with it, I think it's like 300, 200. All right.
Well, it's better than these $1,000 ones.
Yeah, I mean, you still want to use a better one because mine...
Not always.
Not well.
Yours might not be a bad idea, and especially if you're close enough to the water. Obviously, it might scare the fish more. But that's the nice thing about, you know, getting high up out. You can look down through the water a little
bit
better.
You'd want something that had a polarized lens on it then, too, mm-hmm. which most of them don't have by default.
Yeah.
Which you could put it on, but or put a filter over it at least.
So the problems that I did identify in the article, the drone doesn't quite let go of the line as quick as it would like, and the fish nabs the line the hook, and there goes your drone. Birds.
Into the water.
Birds like your drones as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I was flying it over, like at my dad's house, I saw an eagle kind of just flying ahead, like circling. I was like, oh... Because I just had my drone just, like, hovering for a little while I was trying to figure something out. And I think it was trying to decide if my drone was a bird or not. Like, a little smaller bird.
I think it's that.
It was interesting. And then when I flew it down towards me, it flew off. So I kind of think it was debating that.
You almost lost your drone to an eagle.
Yeah, that would have... Actually, I think it was a falcon, not an eagle, but still,
either way, A large bird of prey.
A
large bird of prey.
Yeah. That's cool, though. Okay, I have less problems with it. Just because...
You thought the drone was actually carrying the fish.
Yeah, like, I...
Grabbing the fish.
What I thought was going to happen was... It was... You just had, like, a reel up there.
On the drone.
Oh. And the drone just sat over the middle of a lake or reservoir. And then when you got a fish, you just reeled it in. Like, the drone did it. The reason why I had a problem with it was because I thought it was just going to be a piece of fishing line just going straight up in the air, which would have been easier for a boat to catch.
Yes. No, as soon as the...
So this is fine.
As soon as the drone goes out, and yes, there is a hook just hanging, and it can drops it and takes off.
I have less problems with it, but I would not want to be with people who are doing this because drones are loud. Having to deal with that every time would be annoying. And I feel like this is cheating.
I kind of wonder if they have, like, those fish finders or something.
You could do that, actually. You'd have to drop, because those fish finders, they have to be submerged in the water. So you'd have to drop something into the water to use it.
Or you could have something, if you're on a dock or on the bank, to have... Because, you know, certain rivers aren't super wide.
Mm-hmm.
That boats can still go down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Why is the drone different? This is a piece of technology versus the boat that you rent or buy.
Because the boat will scare away any fish that are near the surface, so it's...
So it's the drone.
It's the
depending
same.
Depending on how high the drone...
I would imagine you'd have the drone up pretty high.
I think you'd want pretty high.
At least like 10 or 15 feet, just because some drones, if they get a good like wind gust, they sway a lot. A lot of them have like gyroscopes in there and stuff and GPS locking, so they'll go back to where they were.
Yeah.
But doing that, it's still... if you have it too close to the ground, or to the water in this case, it's probably going to hit it, and then it's going to take a drink, and then you don't have a drone anymore.
Aww.
You'd be able to reel it in, though.
Well, unless the clasp, you know, because some of these are like just little magnetic clasps that are just
bounce. So that much force to.
Yeah, the idea is for it to be an easy release, you rehooked your drone. You just start reeling it in really quick and you hooked onto the drone.
Or you'd have to go pay someone to. Actually, it'd probably sink. Mine might not, because it's mostly made out of styrofoam.
Fiberglass, depending on what. Oh, that reminds me. Something that's not in the show notes. Made out of this new metal that has, like, air pockets inside of it. It's actually a metal that floats.
Yeah, I can believe that. How brittle is it?
It's strong as steel.
Hmm. They must have the way that... The air bubbles is fine, but usually, like, if you were to put air bubbles in, like, iron or something, I think it'd make it really brittle. So the way that the metal, like, the alloy structured, it must have enough, like, shear force? I don't know. Is it reinforced with, like, nanotubes or something?
It is, so, let's see, what's the other stuff? It's a lithium, sodium, and potassium part of the group 1 metals, which have low density, float in water, and, oh, those are the ones. I had to find one article that just...
Oh, are they just naturally like that?
No, this is a man-made one.
Well, I know that, but, like, it's an alloy, but the metals are just... Maybe they don't have to do a lot to make it have holes in it.
No, they're making one, and they're going to be able to reuse a lot of the metals that currently exist and make literally unsinkable ships. Yes, actually, not just kind of, but literally, like, you can crack the hull and the ship will be just fine.
Could lisp, though.
Because it's so buoyant?
Because the metal itself is buoyant.
All I'm picturing is, like, this battleship that's, instead of, like, because you know how they're, like, at least half covered, like, half of it's underwater? I'm just picturing this battleship where, since it's so buoyant, it's only got, like, probably a foot or two that's in the water, and so it just tips. It just capsizes.
I can see that. Well,
so you'd have to make, like, flatter ones.
Because it would be the metal itself that would be floating, not the shape of the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have to make more flat ones. Like, they wouldn't have to be completely flat, but they'd have to be flatter.
Yeah, and that's what these are.
And I think the waves would, like, the big ocean waves might be harder on it.
And they're also talking about making floating cities out of this.
I could see that.
Like on the water, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That would float.
So we're not talking like BioShock Infinite here.
We're not talking about submerged cities.
I don't know. No. BioShock. In BioShock Infinite, they had floating cities that were in the sky.
Oh, yes.
One of them.
These are not cloud cities. These are not flying.
So we're not into steampunk area.
No.
Okay. Dang it. This is still cool, though. Sorry. I interrupted you, Anna.
Though there's something that may get us onto that note. Okay. We'll come back to that.
What were you saying?
I was just saying that you could just kind of build several, like, you could build your own house on water that won't sink.
Yeah.
And so that would make sense as far as having cities that would actually just be sprawled, even if it's, like, in the ocean or something.
Mm-hmm.
You could float your house somewhere else.
Well, you could float your house. You could float, especially places like with Japan.
Houseboats will be more common.
Yeah. Well, Japan, where they're, you know, limited land, a lot more safe cities actually built out.
Would it be tsunami safe? Probably not. Unless you make it out of materials that can withstand. And you'd have to anchor it.
Okay, depends on what you're wanting out of this. Like, if you do you want it to float around?
Depends.
Do you want it to stay? Because you could.
I think it depends on how far out it is. If it's not, if it's pretty far out, you probably don't need to anchor it. But if it's like really close to the shore, I think you'd want to anchor it. Otherwise, it'd wash up on shore in a tsunami.
Yeah. So no matter what. Yeah. So it would, that would be the catches on those.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how much damage or it's how much it's punctured, it will stay afloat.
Wait, what is this about an air bubble?
This is the unsinkable metal. Like I said, they have built air bubbles inside of it.
Okay, so they just have. It looks like it's just.
It's just a disc, so you're not worrying about the shape of the ship anymore.
I'm trying to decide, is this two metal put together and then they just have a.
In these small ones, yes. It's more of a middle, and they you have pillars in between.
And then do they just have, like, glass or something on the side, or what?
No. No, it's.
It just looks like a
I know
a donut that had the sides cut off, and then it was
a reverse donut.
Yeah, a reverse donut, basically. And then it looks like it has like epoxy or something on the sides of it, so that the water can't get into it. But
And this is one of the many things that Bill Gates,
that would be cool,
and Melinda Gates is actually supporting. They're actually doing tons of supporting new technologies that are coming out. There's another one we'll talk about even a little bit later that they're super supporting.
Well, that's why he stopped being the CEO of Microsoft, right? So he had time to do all this stuff. Well, that's what he says now.
He was kind of doing it, but now he's definitely got the time for it.
Yeah, he has the time.
And he has the money again.
Yeah.
He's the richest again. He actually beat out Bezos.
How did he get the richest?
Bezos had a divorce.
Okay.
Well, there's that.
If it had something to do with that.
That was what everyone's claiming it on, but no matter. Bill Gates makes so much money, he can't give it away fast enough.
No matter how hard he tries?
Yes.
I'm sure he could find a way to give it away fast enough, but it would take a lot of work.
It would, yeah. So he is the richest billionaire, the richest person in the world.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. But yay. So he's supporting things like this. Unsinkable metals.
This would be cool. Like, an ocean community would be neat with this.
And he is also working on some solar breakthroughs.
So much for your list being in order.
I know. We're just going to stick with this the way it goes. We're doing it live.
Doing it live.
So what this is they're able to take solar cells and everything, point that and mirrors and all this, point them at a specific point to create extreme temperatures.
Yeah, a solar oven, basically.
Yes, but okay. On a more extreme level.
What are they using the heat for?
Melt steel and glass and cement.
To do what?
To save energy. Oh, this is actually a zero.
Like for a recycling thing?
Yeah, you could use it for recycling. You could use it for creating these things.
I wonder how much material you'd have to recycle to get rid of the carbon footprint of producing all the mirrors and stuff. Because that's a thing, too.
That would be.
Because, like, that's an argument for all the solar panels that people are making. Like, yeah, they're good. And don't get me wrong, I like solar. But it takes a lot of materials to make a solar panel. So, yeah.
That would be.
I'm getting it.
Yeah, that's something they haven't really talked about. But it is something that where Bill Gates has actually been looking into, especially if you watched his show Inside Bill's Brain. They talk about him reinventing the toilet. So it uses less water, can be used to clean, especially in a lot of these places.
Yeah, that makes sense, because they invented the toilet and then never looked back, really, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Though they have redone the urinal a few times.
Yes. So with this, you also can make, I'm going to screw this up. It's either hydrogen or helium. Whichever one is the man-made one.
What do you mean? They're both natural.
No, one can be man-made. The other one I didn't think was able to be man-made.
It's probably helium then, because helium, they use it to, like, for balloons, but it's actually really wasteful because you can't recapture it. Whenever the balloon pops, it just goes up into the atmosphere, and then I think it eventually escapes. So we don't get it back. Well, that Whereas with hydrogen you can make by... It's hydrogen, because you can make that by with electrolysis.
Okay. So they're water. Talking about being able to make hydrogen using all this, and then you can...
I wonder how.
With enough heat, but then you can use...
Well, I'm just wondering what materials they use to make the hydrogen. Because it'd have to be a chemical byproduct.
Well, because they were talking about using it in fuels. So you could have... That doesn't seem right. It has to be helium, because hydrogen's too explosive. Except for helium's not explosive enough, is it?
No, it can be. Like, no, hydrogen's fine. Like, it's probably hydrogen because it's pretty easy to make with electrolysis. And... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's hydrogen. And hydrogen, they have used in... Like, I'm pretty sure that's what a fuel cell is, isn't it? It's using the hydrogen from the water.
Yes, carbon-free hydrogen. It is hydrogen!
Okay.
Haha. So they're able to make hydrogen, and then you can take this hydrogen, and you can have a complete carbon-free fuel source. An actual zero-waste fuel source. Because you'd use the sun, and you get... From the sun, you end up able to create this. You take this, you end up putting it into the vehicles. Ta-da! And toss this.
I'm wondering where they're getting the hydrogen from, though.
Magic.
Well, I'm trying to find it.
This is eventually. This is down the road. So right now they're just talking about taking all this material, or taking this and making, so you don't have to create large amounts of fire from coal burning or gas burning or anything like that. And you're able to do mass amounts of melting of these heavy, dense materials that are actually very difficult to melt.
Yeah.
Glass is still so high. And they're talking about, you know, like, this is 1,000 degrees Celsius. They're talking about getting up to 1,500 Celsius eventually with all this.
But this still requires the sun to be up.
Correct.
And it probably doesn't work in the morning or in the evenings. Like,
they turned on the plant and they had their answer within 7 minutes.
Oh, I know.
And so, yes, the morning and evening may be a little less intense or a bit good.
Like, they can...
But it'll still work.
Yeah, the mirrors are... They are able to be moved by... Because they use a computer. And it looks like they use a combination of artificial intelligence, edge detection, and a couple other things to find out where, like, the best way to... optimally redirect the light. So that's cool. I like it. I'm just curious how they're... I don't know. That's cool. It's a lot of mirrors. Imagine flying over that. Get blinded.
Well, any solar farm would be kind of like that.
Yeah, to a point. Though this would be worse because solar farms are black. These are mirrors.
As shiny as they can be. But they're also not pointing at you flying over. They're pointing at the thing to melt.
They're pointing at the thing to melt relative to where the sun is.
True.
So, you know how whenever you move, like, in front of your bathroom mirror, you can get different perspectives just by just moving across? Like, you see different reflected stuff? Same idea.
So you just adjust flight patterns.
Yeah, I know. I was just pointing it out.
I understand. But yay!
This could also be used as a terrorist device and pointed at a mountain, cause a big fire.
Ooh.
Or you could point it at overhead overhead planes.
How about the moon?
I think it's too far away.
We can do it. The focal
point would be too far.
We can build. Hey, this is a quarter of the temperature of the sun.
You'd need a lot. Yeah, it doesn't matter. The reason why this does so good is because it focuses on a single point.
We can start fire on the moon.
Again, you'd need to... That's the focal point, man. You'd need a lot of mirrors for that to work.
Hey, the sun is a giant, unfocaled device that points at us, generally, and warms us. But if we take
it's a little different.
And we focus.
It's a little different.
Just focus. We give the mirrors some Ritalin, and they focus, and then we catch the moon on fire.
The mirrors aren't biological. Ritalin won't work on them.
Are they? Why are they not biological? Can they be biological?
Not yet.
Oh.
Give it time.
Then we can give them Ritalin, and they'll
actually
focus.
They probably won't be biological, but they might have AI built into them at some point.
They're smart.
Not yet.
Smarter?
Smart mirrors exist.
There's plenty of them.
Bill, do you actually want to burn the moon?
Fire.
What will that get you?
There's the moon
nothing
will be on
burnable
fire.
On the moon.
There's ice. We can melt it. Yeah, but then catch it on fire.
I don't think that would work.
Oh. I'm sure the dirt is
like
fire.
There's nothing combustible.
Hey, if we're melting cement, why can't we just melt the moon and set it on fire?
Okay, we could. It'd melt, and but it would not burn. I don't think.
Melt some rock.
Melt some rock. Make it go on fire. Rock, lava, rock, literally fire.
Yes, but it also has oxygen to burn with. There's no oxygen on the moon, Bill.
The light will make it. We'll melt the water that held the oxygen, and then we'll catch it on fire.
It'll outgas. Okay. I'm pretty sure it'll outgas too fast, but there's not enough gravity on the moon to hold an atmosphere. A very good one, at least, I mean.
Well, if we made...
Because it does have a tiny,
if we
tiny,
melted
tiny
the ice
one.
Fast enough that it could hold just long enough. If we melt it quickly, it'll stay there generally. Then we catch on fire. All right. Let's go with this. Next one. Tesla is also making
solar glass V3.
Yes. So these ones apparently don't catch your house on fire.
Or degrade quickly.
This is the version 3, so they degrade less quickly.
That's still a lot of money, though. That'd take a long time to pay off.
So it's the entire roof starting at $33,950 and for the average home, is what they're saying, which they're saying the average home is... They didn't say how big the average home is. But the thing is, if you have to redo your roof... So this is them coming out. This is them doing installation. This is them doing... You know, they have specialists.
Yeah.
If you have to actually do a roof, this is comparable.
Like redo the whole roof?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not talking about just like rip off your shingles and put them back on. I'm talking about like redoing your roof.
Like this would be like you were in like some kind of hurricane. The roof gets blown away.
Or you're building a house.
Or you're building... Yeah, if you're building a house, this might make sense. Or it would make sense.
And then you could also get incentives back, too.
But, like, retrofitting an existing house, this does not make sense unless you have to redo the entire roof, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Because it would take so long to pay it off.
Well, it would take time. But
and
you
then
also
what about
could
that carbon
save
footprint?
Money. You could save money for your electric bill.
Yeah. That's what I mean by it takes a long...
If you lived in California, you'd have electricity right now.
Do they not have electricity right now?
They're shutting off the electricity because of the fires.
Oh,
their power company's been shutting that off the... Because last year, the winds broke the power lines, which caused the fire. So this year, the power company decided to shut down the lines to try to reduce the amount of fire. It still started fire.
Nice.
And there's still lots of people without power, which really sucks.
I didn't know that. I'm apparently really ignorant on this right now.
It's in the U.S. news. I know that there's more important things for the news to talk about, but
yeah.
We will talk about the important things that have gone under the radar, like starting the moon on fire.
That's not important.
Yeah. So, this is interesting, which is also all the other fun tech, you know, all the electric vehicles coming out.
Yeah, Ford has one.
Yep, they just announced one.
It's a SUV.
Yep.
It's fully electric, right?
Yep.
And it's supposed to be a Mustang, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like a Mustang
crossover. Well, an SUV-ish Mustang, yeah.
It's a crossover, probably. I imagine it's a crossover because that's the hot thing right now.
But it's pretty. No one really got super up close chance to
how
look at
it. How much is it going
to
be?
It is more than a regular car.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And you won't even have it till the end of next year, even if you pre-ordered it. But you get 300 miles off of one charge.
Is it a hybrid or just full-on electric?
It's full-on electric.
Look at that screen. Holy
There's
crap.
The inside, yes.
So it needs to be plugged in, right?
Yes.
Yeah, to charge it.
And because of the electric, there's an extra storage. Extra space.
Oh, so it's like an old Beetle. It has the trunk's up front. And there's probably a trunk in back, too.
Yeah, there's a trunk all over.
I wonder how far it can go.
300 miles.
300 miles? At what speed?
Oh, I have to go back up there. There's your price, though. $60,000. For the very, very first one that you won't even see till late next year. So speeds is a rear-wheel drive, really? Huh.
I'm really surprised they didn't make it all-wheel drive.
I know. Because you have less...
Or at least front-wheel drive.
No, I'm just surprised they didn't just make it all-wheel drive.
Well, they should at least have made it front-wheel drive, because all-wheel drive... Sorry, front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, for winter environments, sucks.
Well, yeah.
Front-wheel drives, at least that's better.
Oh, there is an all-wheel drive. The first edition will be all-wheel drive. That's weird that they are...
So, if it's all-wheel drive, you have even less range, because you have to power more.
No, you have more range. Audi proved if you have all-wheel drive, you get better gas mileage because you're not pushing empty. You're not trying to rotate empty weight. All four tires are in a progression forward or in the same progression. So if you actually have something that's all-wheel drive, you actually get better gas mileage than you do when it's only two-wheel drive. And I'm talking about all-wheel drive, not four-wheel drive, because four-wheel drive is different technology.
Yeah, it is definitely different.
Because it tries to, like, drag the vehicle. So the front tires actually spin faster than the back tires on four-wheel drive because it's trying to drag you out of places, which is bad on
depends
summer. Okay, there is some.
It depends. There are some four-wheel drive systems that are designed to be on all the time. Not necessarily all the time, but they're designed designed to come on when you're going faster. Like, on my truck, it has an auto mode where it will switch over to four-wheel drive if it detects like slippage or something. That one is designed for that, but it's still like instead of like with all-wheel drive, they usually can adjust. Sometimes they can adjust. It depends on the car, but they can adjust how much power goes to each wheel, or at least goes to each pair of wheels or each set. And with four-wheel drive, it's basically 50-50. Like when it's in two-wheel drive mode, it's either applying all the power to the back or the front. And then when you put it in four-wheel drive, it basically just splits it for the most part.
Oh, and then there's also the up to $7,500 in tax credits.
That seems pretty nice. Like, my husband, Ted, he has been interested in getting a hybrid. And kind of looking around, there's not really many options out there right now for hybrids that could actually like work out very well, because like there's a lot of them that have like some of the options where you just kind of plug it in, charge it. He was wanting a Tesla. However, the distance on the Tesla, you can't really go very far without having to recharge a little bit further. So you'd
want something like a plug-in hybrid or something, and they've been kind of getting rid of those.
Well,
are you wanting the plug-in though?
No. No, that's the problem.
No, sorry. By plug-in hybrid, I mean you can plug it in and charge it, but it also has a smaller like gas motor to use when you run out of electricity. So you can still power the car off gas if you need to. That's the advantage of a plug-in
hybrid.
There's
just not very many places to actually plug in to charge. And
Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart does have.
But like if you're going across country and trying to.
So this is where you have the adapters for them too. You can't. They won't rapid charge, but RV places, places where people go. Whatever. There's yes, there are adapters. I don't know if you remember. Did you get to watch that video about the person who drove across country?
I didn't watch it, but I know of it.
All right. So somebody drove across country in a Tesla, and they decided to take the scenic route.
And I think they actually.
They had to plan it. They did have to plan
it. I think they towed a trailer behind it, too. A small one, but...
I don't know if he did.
Maybe this is a different story.
I don't know if he did. I don't remember that.
Because they have the horsepower and torque.
Yes. Well, they can tow a semi.
Yeah.
With its brakes on.
Yeah.
That's through snow.
That's a thing.
Yes. They actually have lots of power. But you have to plan it, especially if you're going to take scenic routes. And obviously, if you go to these RV parks... You are now waiting hours. You're not waiting minutes anymore. You're waiting hours for this thing to charge.
Yeah, you basically have to camp there overnight.
So it's not possible. It's just a lot more planning.
But
that's if you want full electric. Yeah. Hybrids aren't nearly as bad.
There's different hybrids, though. You can get hybrids that just like recapture energy. At like when you're braking or something.
Or when you're going down a hill.
But there's also hybrids that you plug them in and... They get their energy from batteries, but it can also, it has a small like 5 or 10 gallon like gas or gasoline tank that you can fill up, and when you run out of energy, it'll just start up that motor and then just power the motors directly. And that's something that used to be really common. Like the Nissan Leaf was like that, and I think Ford had one too. Like they had a Ford Focus that was a plug-in hybrid, but the car manufacturers have been kind of getting rid of them like that. I don't think the Nissan Leaf exists anymore.
That's kind of what Ted is looking for, is like a hybrid that doesn't require plug-in.
Hondas.
We have been looking at Hondas.
But Hondas aren't bad gas mileage in the first place.
We've actually been looking at a lot of Toyota, though, because Toyota was the first company to kind of do hybrids. Like, looking at Prius. There's actually quite a few.
That's right.
Other ones that they actually have, they currently have like hybrids for like RAV4. I think there's another SUV type that they actually have as well, and then they also have like a hybrid Toyota Camry, and that's kind of what Ted is actually kind of leaning towards, is possibly like the Toyota Camry hybrid.
I had to fact check you. Sorry. Toyota is not the first hybrid.
Okay.
The Loner Porsche was back in
1899. Yeah. To be fair, I think vehicles, like propelled vehicles, the first ones were electric.
Yes.
Not gasoline. Because internal combustion engines were hard to make back then.
They got turned into being really easy to... mass produce compared to electric.
Yeah, but yeah. Whereas back then when the hybrid car was made, external combustion engine was the thing that was good, but you needed a lot of space for that. That's what trains are.
There's your Tesla. Same mileage. More expensive. Get 300 miles off it. Tops off at 130 miles an hour.
Jeez.
Not legal in the U.S. to drive that fast.
0 to 60 slower on it. 0 to 60 on the other one was 3 seconds.
It was. And this is also if you do the long range option. If you do 2 wheels.
I'm surprised it's only 300 miles. I thought it was longer than that.
I swear they were actually getting more out of them. I thought there was like a 400.
Like if you're just on flat ground and you're going the same speed, I think you can get more. But I think this includes like hills and stuff.
That's the Model 3. I think the Model S actually has a longer... But it gets expensive. Like, the price on that thing goes up.
Yeah, it does have a longer range. And it does have a faster 0 to 60.
Hey. And it starts at 72 instead.
Range. Only, I think that just kind of the look of it and everything, like, if we were to actually travel, like, around, it... would not really be worth it to us as far as trying to charge it in between going from one place to the next. Especially if we take like a long trip from here to like Vegas or something, that would take like 7 or 8 hours to get there. Plus any charging time.
Yeah. All the fun stops. All the money you spend that you wouldn't have expected to spend. Because, you know, yeah, you can go to Walmart and charge it, but probably going to wander through Walmart.
They won't, probably, but yeah. Actually, I don't think he would charge it at Walmart.
Why not?
Ted doesn't like Walmart.
Oh, okay.
Like at all.
Well, then he'll charge it at Walmart, and then he'll go somewhere else.
Well, no, the charging it at Walmart's still paying Walmart.
Oh.
I think.
Unless you paid for the Tesla model that comes with unlimited charges.
Yeah, but that's not the Model 3.
No, it's the Model S. Yeah. And it's only the most expensive Model S version.
I wonder how much it costs to charge.
Probably not that much. It probably has, there's probably something on here that tells you.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. You're asking all the questions that I have no clue. Yeah, you get the solar installed on your house, and it's free charging.
Oh, they also have the Tesla, like, wall or something, which is a battery, basically.
Because then you don't have to worry about getting power from your power company as often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you can go all in on Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
You can try to live off-grid, but...
Depending on your place, like in Idaho, if you live within city limits, you're not allowed to be off-grid. And I think there's even some places that if you live within certain... I'm not sure if you live in Idaho, you can't be off the... If you want electricity, you have to be connected to the power grid. You can't be completely off-grid. Or if it's just within so many miles of cities.
Well, I know... So, we actually had someone who lived near me when I was a kid who... They lived up on the hill. The only wire they had going up there was the phone line. So they actually did have solar power and I think some generators too to use if they needed to, but whether that was legal or not, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was, but, and it wasn't something, it wasn't like they were grandfathered in because the house was built probably within the last 20 years that I was up there, but 20 years that I, yeah. But.
And it could be a different time and all of that as well.
Yeah. Like, the reason why you can't do off-grid now, I think, is just because safety reasons, maybe? Just because
if
you're...
The thing is, it's not as safe as they are trying to make it out to be. Like, is it California, literally on fire because of power grid?
I know. What I mean by that is, like, if your solar panel breaks or something.
Oh.
You
so
don't have...
you have
yeah,
the options.
Yeah, it's basically... Like, I know it's not for that, but one could argue that would be why.
Okay.
Like, it's not like that because the power companies are like, no. And then the city is like, okay. Because where else are you going to get your power from? Most cities only have one provider, maybe two. So. I guess some might have more, the bigger ones. What's up? You're looking at me weird.
I was wondering.
Wondering.
Would you be up for watching a sequel to the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time?
Oh, that movie? No, I wouldn't be.
Okay, actually,
I know what movie you're talking about.
Would you be up for watching the sequel to the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time?
I would also say no. I don't.
Both suck.
You know what movie he's talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What movie am I talking about?
Joker.
Yes. Joker is going to get a sequel.
Did you not like it either?
Well, I liked parts of it. I didn't like all of the movie. The first half was mostly depressing. And then the second half is where I kind of started enjoying, like, the actual story of Joker in that movie. Like, he actually became, like, the Joker.
I had the opposite effect. The opposite thing happened to me. Like, the movie was good. And I've iterated that on this podcast before. But it was good. I enjoyed it. Like, by I enjoyed it, I mean I appreciate the movie. It did well. It did what it was trying to accomplish well. It just wasn't what I was in the mood for that day.
Okay. Would you be into watch a sequel to the second highest grossing R-rated movie of all time? Or maybe the third? I don't know which one is actually higher, the second or third. This would be the third sequel to the highest or second highest grossing.
Deadpool?
Yes.
Yeah, I would watch that one.
They're making a sequel of that as well.
I'd also watch that one.
There you go.
And I probably would watch Joker, too, once. Like, I watched Joker once.
Oh.
But it's not on my, like, high, like, must-do things, is what I'll say.
I guess if Joker 2 is the same as the second half of Joker, then I might be up for it.
Actually, no, because it'll probably be exactly like the last, like, 5-10 minutes of the movie was.
Yeah.
So I think I'd watch it, actually.
I know what they would call it.
What?
Batman.
Yeah. Depends on how far the jump is.
Gotham. That's what they call it.
Didn't they already have a movie called... No, they have a TV show called Gotham.
Yeah, I know. It's a, you know, his parents are... Spoilers. His parents are dead, so now it's Gotham.
How could you?
I know. It's not even in theaters anymore, I don't think.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's like... That is Batman's story. His parents are dead.
I know. So it's a sequel. Gotham.
They might call it
Gotham. I'd go watch that.
Yeah, I think I'd watch it.
I enjoyed the series Gotham. So I'd probably go and watch that if it is something along those lines, or if it's more of the Joker story.
It'd be more Joker. It's a Joker sequel. This is not a Batman story. I was actually very surprised they put the Waynes in it at all.
They'd have some tie-in.
They don't need it. I know,
but... Well, I mean...
And also,
depending on how far...
It made a time period thing, and I was like, you could have... If you wanted to eventually tie these together, you could have had... Because now he's, like, way older than Bruce.
Yeah, but I thought this Joker series wasn't canon anyways.
It's not. Well, no, okay. Honestly, DC is good, or can be good at, like, none of these... You know, because so this Joker is not part of the DC cinematic universe. It's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But... And that, you know, all of these chunks, anyways, are their own individual, they're good stories, all that. So, but the idea of, like, having Joker similar age to Bruce would have been tie-in for a different cinematic universe or different, universe tie-in.
Yeah, now it's like Joker's going to be 70 or 80.
Yeah.
When Bruce gets to age where...
He's old man Joker.
And that at that point, it might even not even be the same person. Just someone else who took the Joker name.
So, like, the age of Alfred, basically, yes. Like, someone equivalent to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Bill, how did you like Joker?
Oh, I loved it. I'm buying it. I laughed at all the awkward spots. It was awesome.
Yeah, you did.
I have no regrets. I may have a disease, though. But that's a different
you
story.
You do have a disease. We all do.
We're really doing
death.
Death.
Yeah, death. The disease.
Drat. I'm pondering.
We're talking about Disney Plus.
Yeah, let's talk about Disney Plus. So Disney, a bunch of people are stating that their Disney Plus accounts have been hacked.
Yeah, that didn't take long at all.
It makes sense, you know, because they had so many downloads, so many people signed up. Disney's saying they don't have any breaches.
Obviously, they'd say that.
Yes. There is a very large amount of people that got quiet afterwards when it came out that more than likely everybody is reusing the same passwords they have used on many accounts.
And so the password's already been compromised and they were just checking.
Yeah, and these are all these passwords that have been released over so much time. So the, you know, go check your Google can check it. You know, have a password
Credit
manager.
Credit Karma can check it.
Yeah.
Like, Credit Karma has a thing where it just, they have a database out there and they check the username that you have on there. And then if you have a username that's on there, and they will even go so far as, like, sometimes there's a password that you have that's been unhashed or it wasn't hashed at all.
Mm.
So they can tell you exactly what password not to use anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have a password that's like that.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's the thing, is that's where they got a lot of these from, because people are still reusing these passwords on so many different places.
Because it's hard to remember passwords.
That's why you get a password manager. Or
but what if the password manager gets hacked?
Then you, can change your password manager.
That's always the danger.
It's correct, it is.
Which is why you have two-factor authentication.
At least.
At least.
I have found there are some that are a ridiculous amount of authentications. I'm like, I am in. Like, my authenticator has an authenticator with bio... or like fingerprint scanner, and like there is like my authenticator has levels itself, and then you have these other things that require levels themselves, and you make them convenient but durable. So they're not like, it's like, oh, I need a number, I need my fingerprint, I need my eyeball, I need my face, I need to remember this one giant generic password that says row, row, row your boat and don't forget your dog, but use all these little characters. And
also a danger with the two-factor.
I need to change my password now.
Yeah. The danger with two-factor authentication, though, is that, especially with like the token-based ones,
mm-hmm,
that just regenerate, they're good. The danger is, though, that if you reset your phone or lose it and you didn't save like the because it does generate those 10 codes or something for you to reuse.
Yeah.
But if you just for some reason lose them, you're out of that account unless you contact the people and...
Unless. So I've been using one called Authy.
Yeah.
It's on multiple devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the same security, so it keeps updated through multiple things. And Microsoft's also is allowed to be on multiples. Google's can also be identified on multiples. Finally.
But now, the Google Authenticator? I don't know about that.
It's their new system. Their authenticator is actually kind of weird.
Like, I like the authenticator. I don't like, though, that there is no way to, like, back it up or anything like that. So if you didn't save, like, the original password to sync it up
you
with.
But you can say all of my Google devices can authenticate. So it's not, you're not using
that one.
Yeah, you're not using Google Authenticator. So Microsoft Authenticator can be on multiples. Authy can be on multiples. Google.
I'll look up Authy.
Authy.
I figured that's how it was spelled.
I should probably put that in the show notes for everybody. Recommend it.
This is not sponsored by Authy.
Nope, we're not. Actually,
but if you want to sponsor us, Authy,
you can send it to patreon.com/geeksrewired. There you go.
I wonder if OnePass is like that too.
Yes. So it has, like I said, you use fingerprint. You can
look at
just
it.
load up Authy with. The only ones I've had issues with is those that must require Google, and obviously those that won't do anything but send you text messages.
I hate those ones.
Yes, they...
Especially where you have a company that is easy to social engineer, and then they're like, oh, we're transferring your SIM to another SIM.
Yeah. But...
Good luck.
So this is the other thing. Some people... saying that they use password managers, and this is a password that was never used anywhere else. There are not many that are stepping forward saying this, but there are a few. Whether these people are going like, no, I'm not stupid like everybody else, or Disney's lying. We probably won't know for a bit, but...
Or the Disney may not be lying. They may not know.
True. Okay, yes. Yeah. Disney may be oblivious at the moment.
Or they may know, they may have an idea that they might have been, but you're not going to say that you've been breached.
Correct.
You might, however, say that we're looking into it to see if we have, which I don't think they have done that. But that is what a lot of companies will do.
Disney is officially saying they can't find a breach. So,
which could be accurate.
Yeah.
Maybe they can't.
Among other things, if you own an Android phone, make sure you have the most recent updates, because... your camera can apparently start recording things because of a bug in the access to your storage.
So what do you do if you're on an old phone or your carrier hasn't pushed out the updates yet?
So this update supposedly came back out in June.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an update, at least since the security update, since June, you should be fine.
Not necessarily.
And if it's not a... Android update, at least a camera update should also take care of this.
You can't update you can on some, I guess.
Yeah, there's the app, the camera app, the Google camera app, the app that comes with it, the app software.
I know, but I just mean that there's, at least on the older ones, you couldn't, like I wanted to install the Google camera app because it was cool, and you had to get like this weird like shady APK off the internet that was patched to work on your device.
Okay.
Maybe they've changed that since then?
Yes.
Okay. So you can update it
Well, unless,
as long as you have a somewhat new operating system.
Correct.
Which might be a hard task for some people.
Correct. So just check your updates. This is actually kind of a big thing. They just released, like I said, it was updated back in June.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone should be okay as long as you made sure everything's been updated. I was going to double check my stuff because I'm stuck with my carrier thing.
So what can trigger this bug?
They end up going through your storage to get a backdoor access to turn your camera on even when it's locked. And they can even, with that information, if they end up triggering the camera, they also can get the metadata off of it, meaning your location.
Ooh.
Yes. So the thing I recommend with Google, go through your apps every once in a while. Turn off access to certain things that you don't think should have it. And the bad thing about the storage is this is literally needed for like 90% of the games that are out there. They need storage access. Mm-hmm. Not fully always kind of so-so when I allow that, but and sometimes these games don't survive either.
Yeah, it makes sense in a way, especially if it's like storing data, like save data or something.
Yeah.
Or if it's like with Pokemon Go, it needs access. Well, I think it just it doesn't ask until you try to save a screenshot, I think.
Yeah. So like I said, there's games that don't need it, that only need certain storage, but not other storage.
But there's only one flag. You just say it has access to storage or not, right?
Correct. But Google's gotten better at that. You know, they've started breaking these things further and further, so they do have to get certain access. And then they start locking things down, which means you start agreeing to lots of access suddenly on these apps.
Yeah.
Also with your camera, though, like you said, older app may not be available on certain phones. I was very excited. My phone finally has Disney Plus. Literally today. Literally got told today I can download it.
So now you're thinking that you're not going to get the OnePlus anymore.
I'm less annoyed at my phone. Much less annoyed.
Dang it. I really wanted to see what the OnePlus is like.
I played with it. It's fun.
Where did you play with it at?
T-Mobile. It's in the T-Mobile store. Yeah.
If you buy it from there, is it locked
I am
down?
Not buying my phone from T-Mobile ever again. I'm sorry. I'm not buying my phone from a phone provider ever again.
Even if it's not locked down?
I don't care if it's locked down or not. I'm not buying it from them, any of the providers, even if I change providers, because I'm currently like 3 updates behind and an entire OS.
Yeah,
my OS was still like a year after.
Yeah, I just bought my phone. Apparently, though, like with the iPhones, if you buy them and you don't get it specifically unlocked, it apparently gets tied to the carrier anyways, even if you like buy it full on out.
But if you buy it full on out, they have to unlock it.
Yeah.
That is FCC legal regulations.
Mm-hmm. So I like and like, when I asked AT&T to unlock it, like there's an online form.
Mm-hmm.
It was approved within like an hour.
Yeah.
So I think there was just some automated process that just like a batch picked it up or something. And it was like checked some few things. Cool.
So we need to finish things up. Famous last words.
For those fishermen out there, you can do some fly fishing with your drone.
Use a password manager, people. Please. Also, for your master password on them, use a strong password. Don't use the same password.
Do you know what keeps me down?
Your medicine.
Gravity.
Gravity, nice.